This is KNKX. More than 30 gray whales have washed ashore in Washington state, but that's only a fraction of the amount of stranded whales seen along the west coast of North America, between Mexico and Alaska. The situation up and down the coast has now been declared an unusual mortality event, or UME. It's triggered an investigation by researchers to discover why this is happening, though answers won't come quickly. John Kalambokidis is a biologist and co-founded the Cascadia Research Institute based out of Olympia. He's been trying to understand the whale strandings in Washington state. He talked with Morning Edition host Kirsten Kendrick via Skype about what's happening with gray whales and how what we're seeing along the shores may only be a fraction of the number of animals that have died.
We actually believe that the majority, maybe as much as 90% of the whales, gray whales that die, likely go undocumented. And that's probably because they're sinking, and especially animals that don't have a lot of blubber on them and are thin will tend to sink. And if they sink in deep enough water that the decomposition pressures don't cause them to come to the surface, they may never float or wash up. And some that float may stay at sea. And there are also some that could come ashore in remote enough areas that they go unnoticed until they're too decomposed. So there are a few scenarios that would explain why we think the vast majority of these deaths don't, in fact, get included in our total.
And of the whale carcasses we have seen, there have been enough to trigger what's been declared the unusual mortality event. What are you specifically doing to find out why so many of these whales are dying?
Yes, and mortality has been observed throughout the kind of range of the gray whale from Mexico through Alaska. And that's what triggered this is a designation NOAA makes. And that tends to trigger, you know, a lot more added attention. It both coordinates the actions of researchers up and down the coast, including in Mexico and Canada. And it also serves to, you know, release some investigative funds to test some of the tissues and deal with this much higher level of responses that are required with these added strandings.
What steps do you take when you have a whale carcass to examine to try to find similarities in the bodies and maybe, you know, find some reasons why they are dying?
The first thing we're really after is documenting the mortalities, because there can be some confusion. And is this an animal that's already been counted with all the carcasses that are around? Verifying the species and age class. So there's some external things we can do. Including sampling, you know, blubber, looking for evidence of ship strikes or entanglement. And then if the animal is fresh enough, conducting an actual full necropsy where a team will, cut into the animal, look at things like stomach contents, pathology in different organs that can be sampled and get much better documentation on the condition and cause of death of the animal.
Are you in that fact-finding mode right now? Have you been able to find any similarities, or are you still waiting on the information?
Right now, we're definitely in the preliminary stages, and so focused on responses, focused on collection of tissues, so they are available for testing later. But many of those tests have not yet been conducted. So while we have some preliminary indications, there will be a lot more information that will be gathered down the road, both with added strandings as they keep coming in, and the ability to test those tissues and do those more detailed examinations.
There was another unusual mortality event in 1999 to 2000. You were involved in investigating that. Are you seeing any parallels to the current situation?
Yes. In 1999-2000, it was actually somewhat similar to this in that we had record numbers. In those 2 years combined, we had about 50 gray whales die between the 2 years. So I believe it was something like 27 and 23. So both individual years were lower than where we're at right now. And we also saw some similar kind of condition in the animals. The timing of the strandings were similar, and many of the animals were extremely malnourished, which is another thing that appears to be common in some of the preliminary examinations that we've done so far with animals.
And I understand there are some complexities to this current investigation.
I will point out that that malnourishment determination can be a little tricky, actually, because gray whales have this thick blubber layer, and that actually remains intact even when they are malnourished. But it can have much less oil or fat in it. And also because this is the tail end of when they're normally fasting, we actually typically expect them to not be in great body condition anyway. even if we know the animals are largely malnourished, exactly what role both the increased population of gray whales, which now numbers 27,000, may even exceed the numbers it was at pre-whaling, how that interacts with the food supply is part of what needs to be understood. We know tremendous changes have been occurring in the Arctic ecosystem, especially with ice cover. And some of that may even have benefited gray whales in the sense that, you know, gray whales, to access their many of the areas they feed, you know, need the ice to be gone. But that may be much less critical to how well the environment can support them than, say, the density of prey and how well is the, you know, prey aggregated in ways that they can really take advantage of.
How long do you expect this UME, this unusual mortality event, to go on?
How long it will go on will probably depend on how long the mortality continues. We know we'll see a lull in the mortality here just because now through the rest of the summer and into the fall, we only have a small portion of the gray whale population in our waters. So we probably won't have a sense and ability to determine the status of this mortality event until next spring.
Why is it so important to know about gray whales and why they're dying?
You know, gray whales really are a product of their environment. So they do face threats from things like entanglement, you know, ship strikes, changes in ecosystem and food supply. And so we can gain insight into how those things might be affecting other species or our environment as a whole with a species that's really iconic and gets people's attention and people care about.
So interesting, John. Thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. Great to talk to you guys.
John Kalambokidis is a biologist and co-founded the Cascadia Research Institute based out of Olympia. You can find other reporting about this issue at our website, knkx.org.